We're holding on Yud Aleph, Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom, the line beginning with Minhu. We learned in the Mishnah a machlokes b'shama b'shilo about trisin of stores. So trisin, we said, are shutters that are used to close up the store. The store itself, Rashi explains, is not a brick and mortar store attached to the ground. It's more like a push cart or a closet or something like that. So they use this shutter to keep the store closed at night, and then during the daytime the vendor takes down the tris, puts it down over there, and that's his counter where he sells things on. So now, Beshama had said, and good morning, Ellie. Beshama had said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to take off the tris on Yom Tov. Beshilo said you're not only allowed to take it off, you're even allowed to put it back on. And we said in the Gemara that Ula gives that as an example of one of these things where the Chachamim, according to Beshilo, the Chachamim are allowing the end of it because of the beginning. If you don't allow him to put it back, he's not going to want to take it off in the first place because he's not going to want to leave the store open, and then he's not going to sell spices or whatever he sells from the store to people on Yom Tov, and there won't be Simchas Yom Tov. By the way, you know, we also mentioned that the selling over here, obviously, we're not talking about where money is exchanging hands. We're talking about that you're buying on credit, and the guy is going to write things down after Yom Tov. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "Mas nisim deloichi haitana." Our Mishnah that is not like the follow that says that the Shammai doesn't allow you to take off the tris at all, and the Silo allows you not only to take it off, but to put it back. That on Mishnah then is not like the following Tana's version of the Machloikis. The Tanya, Amr Rav Shimon Elazar, Moedim B'Shammai B'Silo Shabasalkin is that tris in Miyamdub. Both of them would agree that you can take off the tris on Miyamdub. Lo Nechluk Ve'elo Lahachzir. The Machloikis would only be as far as putting it back. Shabashammai Ein Machzirin. B'Shammai would say, fine, take it off, of course. You need it for Yamdub. You need to be able to sell spices or whatever from your store. Therefore, of course, it's allowed. They're just now saying you can't put it back because that's not need of Yamdub because by that time, the sale has already been done. Or B'Shammai Machzirin, and then according to him, B'Shammai says, you're allowed to put it back. So therefore, our Mishnah is not going like that. Now, he continues, B'Med V'Nam Amorim, B'Shayesh Lahen Tzir. When would that machlokas be? Only if the door has a hinge. Now, we have to keep in mind, by the way, the hinges that they had in those times are not like the ones we have now. They were more like the hinges on Lego doors or something, where they have a peg sticking out from the door, from the shutter or whatever, that goes into a corresponding hole in the frame, and then it swivels on that. So if the door has a tzir, has a hinge, then a hinge pin, then there would be the machlokas. Aval ein lahem tzir, but if they don't have a tzir, if they don't have a hinge like that, divrei hakol mutter, then everybody would agree that it's mutter to put back, because then it's not like building at all. So the question is, v'hatanya b'menavamum v'she'ein lahem tzir, aval yesh lahem tzir divrei hakol oser. What about there's another braisa that says the other way around? If they don't have a hinge, then there's the machlokas, but if they have a hinge, then everybody agrees it's oser. So what is it? Abaya says because there's two different kinds of hinges, two different configurations of hinges. If they have hinges on the side, meaning one on top and one on bottom of one side, so that those go into corresponding holes on the top and the bottom of that side of the frame, and the door swings in and out on those hinges, divrei hakol oser. Everybody is going to agree that you can't take it off or you can't put it back. You can't take it off and you can't put it back on. Because then that really, so Rashi says that really resembles binyan. That really resembles building. In particular, the Tosfos over here mentions a point, Shema Yitzka, that even though it's a keli, and we say that the aim binyan is steered of the kalim, that there's no malachas of building and demolishing when it comes to kalim, but there is a concern, shema yitka, that you might strongly, like you might nail it into position or something, and then it's going to stay that way permanently, that would be considered bona, or maybe baka and patish. The Ramban also adds a practical thing, also why would you do that, you know, is because if it has hinges like that on top and bottom, it can swing freely open like that. Therefore, you might do Yitzchak, you're going to keep it like that permanently because you have no reason now. You're not going to take it off and use it as your counter. You'll use something else for a counter and you'll keep that permanently attached. So therefore, even Basilo would agree that that's a problem.
There's no building and unbuilding for a keli. What's different?
Because the melacha of building, according to the halacha anyway, is it applies only to things that are attached to the ground. Just like with the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan wasn't attached to the ground, fine, but it was on the ground, and you had the Adonim over there sitting on the ground, and the same thing, Stira, taking it down. We learn all the melachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov from the Mishkan, so they didn't have any building of, they didn't have building or demolishing of Kalim, per se, and therefore that's not a melacha. But again, when we say ein binyan astir b'kelim, there are criteria within that, one of them being that after all, it can't be that you're completing the keli, otherwise, if nothing else, you have a melacha of makom patish. And we've also discussed previously, particularly in Masech the Shabbos, that if you have a whole keli that you're building, or the whole keli fell apart or something, then there is binyan astir b'kelim, according to most Rishonim, so. So over here, again, if you have a door that has hinges on the top and bottom, and therefore it is possible that Yitka, that he might nail it into, that he might nail the hinges into place, or otherwise pound them into place to make them stay there permanently, even Basil is going to agree that there's a problem with that. And if they have no hinge at all, it's just a piece of wood that you just stick into the opening of the store, then everybody is going to agree that's mutter. That's not anything like building. Even with one we talked about yesterday, pkaka haloy, in a case from a Mishnah and Shabbos involving a window shutter in a house. Even there, you have a tatum for it when it's kosher vitali, when it's tied to the wall and hanging off the ground. But here we're talking about a store, which is not even a building. It's just a push cart or something. Then all the more so, there'd be no problem with it, even if one's a bit shabbat. Ki pligi b'shiyashlan tzir be'emsa. The machloikus would be if there is a peg on the side of it. So yeah, instead of having a peg at the top and at the bottom that the door can swing out on it, it has one in the middle along the middle of one of the sides, like here, let's say, and it sticks out into a corresponding hole in the thing. So that's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be a problem because not really like. And the Ramban adds also, you're not going to do Yitka, you're not going to permanently put it in place, because then you won't be able to open the thing. If you try to swing it like that, it won't go because of the door frame. So therefore, necessarily, you're going to have to take it out every time. So now, this Shammai holds, Gazrin, it's true that there shouldn't be an issue with that, but Gazrin and Sir Be'emtsa Otu Sir Menatzad. We make a Xeda that even if it only has that peg in the middle of it, then you can't, in the middle of the side of it that goes into the side of the door frame, you still can't because we might confuse it with the case of Tzir Min Atzad. Or Mar Sava, like that's written, whereas Basil says that we're not Gozer. So therefore, the two Brises are not contradicting each other. The one Brise that says Yesh Lahen Tzir versus Ein Lahen Tzir, they're talking, and the other Brise that says the other way around, are talking about, they're using the same terms, but they mean them in two different senses. The first one is saying that when there's a tzir be'emsa is where there's a machlokes. If there's no tzir at all, then they say it's mutter. And the second braisa is saying that when there's no tzir, meaning there's no tzir min atzad, meaning on the top and the bottom of the side, but if there is a tzir min atzad on the top and bottom, then they're both going to agree it's also. So the both braises are effectively saying the same thing, just in different lashonis.
The Shammai is Goyzer over here. Mm-hmm. Because he holds that yes, minion and the kalim.
So it's possible that it's because. So we said in the previous Gemara. We said in the previous Gemara, we would have thought, without Ulla telling us that Basil is allowing it because he too was safe in the Shunt Chilosan, we would have thought that Basil is allowing it because Ein Binyan the Kalim Vein Stina B'Kalim. Now we're saying that no, they say that it's only Hitiru Seif and Mishum Tchilasan. Even Mishil is going to agree that in a closet in a house, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. An interesting point is that, and that means, by the way, according to what we're saying over here in the Gemara, it comes out, well, when like a closet inside a house, not just the trees of a house itself, but it comes out then, according to this Hillel, we would in fact say that one with a Ksir Be'emtza is also inside a house. It sounds almost like a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So one possibility is, again, this problem of Shema Yitka is so serious that even then, that I'm bound to give this answer, we will in fact make a Gzeira L'Gzeira on that. As far as the Tzir Be'emtza, by the way, an interesting idea, the Prima Godim has a pirush on a couple of Masechtas, one of them being Masechta Beitza, called Rosh Yosef. He suggests that maybe the Tzir Be'emtza that we're talking about over here, where there's the Machloikas, is not like Rashi is saying, where it's on the side of the door and it goes into a hole, into a corresponding hole in the side of the door frame. Rather, he says that Tzir Be'emtza would be where it sticks out of the middle of the tris, and it goes, in other words, according to him, all this time we've been saying, without the tris, you have the window of the store is wide open. He wants to learn that knot, that maybe it means that you put it on over there, you have a peg in the middle of it that sticks into a piece of wood or whatever on the store itself, so even with the tris off, the store is still closed. You have another door or window or whatever for the store, and therefore the machlokes would be, can you put that back or not? Are we concerned that if you put back one like that, with a peg in the middle of it, where you're sticking it onto a part of the store, are we goes there that might be confused with Tzirman Atzad or not? Okay. Mishnah says, next Machorkas, this Shama Omen, Ein Mitzian Lois, a cotton Vlois, a Lulav Lois, Sefer Toto, Lushosarabin. The Shama says you're not allowed to carry it. Now you have Malachas of Oichel Nefesh are allowed on Yom Tov, but the Shama would say that you're only allowed to carry food outside on Yom Tov. So not a child or a lulav or a Sefer Torah, because none of those are for food. Or Besilu Matzudin, Besilu says it's mutter. Now, so what's the Machlokas? Tony the Gemara says, Tony Tana Kamei de Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi. So we're going to get to what the point of their machlokas is by way of a side discussion. So Tony Tana Kamei de Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi Hashoich at Tana Torah Braisa in front of Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi Hashoich at Oilas Nedava BeYom Tov Loike. If a person shecht a voluntary oila on Yom Tov, then he will get Malkus. Meaning, now you have Oilus that you're required to bring that day, the various Tmidim and Musafim. Obviously, those are not only Mutter, but a Mitzvah to do. But then you have an Oilus Nedava, where you didn't have, a person wants to bring an Oila of his own, where he doesn't have to bring it on Yom Tov, he could bring it after Yom Tov, he could bring it during Chalamoyim. Tosfos has a discussion over here about why Dafka Oilas Nedava. Wouldn't the same thing really be as far as an Oilas, as far as an Oilas Choiva as well? You have an individual person who has an Oila to bring. For example, a person doing Yom Tov has to bring his Oilas Re'ia, as we're going to learn about in the Masechta Chagiga, Best Hashem, but that you can't, according to Beis Shammai at least, you can't shech that on Yom Tov either. So Tosfos discusses, because the reason why we're mentioning Oilas Nedava is because we want to stress, in other words, that if a person did that with the flip side is if a person did that with Shlomim, even if it was Shalmei, if a person did that with Shlomim, whether Choyva or Nedava, he would be Potter, because after all, Shlomim you can eat on Yom Tov. Shlomim, you can have parts of it that you can eat. So therefore, it is a certain sort of oichel nefesh. We're going to have in the next perek, we're going to have on Daf Yud Tes, Daf Kof, we're going to have a machloikas about that, whether in fact you are allowed to bring shlomim and whether you're allowed to bring oilus and shlomim on Yom Tov. So in fact, Tosfos goes on to say that the Braisa that we're quoting over here that says Loike, we're going to say that that's only according to Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel might agree that you're not allowed to, but they're not going to say that they're not going to say you chayv malchus for it. At most they would say that it's a lava bomikval eser. There's an implicit essay that you're not allowed to bring them on Yom Tov, Nedorim and Nedavas, so you can't bring on Yom Tov, and therefore, fine, you're over on that, then you're over on an essay. You don't get Malkus for an essay. So this Braisa says that a person shechts an Oilas Nedava, where there's no eating of it, on Yom Tov, then he gets Malkus. Evidently, whoever told you this b'risa, you should be aware that this b'risa is only according to this shamai. The Amri, because they say, in effect, they're saying in our Mishnah, what are they telling us in the Mishnah? Even though Hitzah is mutter on Yom Tov for Oichel Nefesh, they say, we don't say because it's mutter for that, then it's mutter for other purposes as well. They agree it's mutter for that, but not a child or a lulav or whatever, which you can't eat. So obviously they would be the ones who say similarly that we don't say that once shchita is mutter on Yom Tov for certain purposes, then it's mutter for other purposes as well, or at most it's also only drabana. If this b'risa was according to this hillel, after all, they're saying that once you're allowed to carry food on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to carry other things as well. Well, the same thing should be as far as shchita. So it should be mutter to shech this oila. At most, it should be also drabanan. You're certainly not going to get malchus for it. So this b'risa of yours must be only according to Beis Shammai. However, maskif la Rabba. However, Rabba says, I have a problem with what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is saying. So he's saying he's explaining that Beis Shammai and this Hillel are arguing on this point about mitoich. Beis Shammai didn't hold of it, this Hillel does. But mimai did Beis Shammai of the Hillel b'ha plegi, who says b'chlal that their machloikas has anything to do with that? Dilma v'eru v'hoitzol the Shabbos v'ein eru v'hoitzol the Yom Tov kamifli. Maybe the machlokas is something else. We know that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, but maybe it applies only to Shabbos. Namely, Rashi explains like this. Where do we know the malacha of Haitzah? Is because the Torah tells us, by Tzav Moshe, when they were bringing the doves for the Mishkan, and they were bringing too much, by Tzav Moshe, by Yavir, Kobamachna, Moshe announced that they should make an announcement, Moshe said they should make an announcement that nobody should bring anything more, and the Pasuk calls it Malacha. Al-Yasa Oid Malacha L'Truma Sakodesh. So we learn from that that carrying is Malacha. Now, much later, we have Yirmiyahu in one place, in his Sefer, he warns the people, be careful not to carry outdoors the inner outer of your houses on Shabbos. Not only Shabbos, he's not mentioning Yom Tov. Now, we're not learning halachas from Nevi'im, of course, but we can say that he's clarifying what the original halacha was, and the fact that he's only warning them about Shabbos and not Yom Tov implies that it's only Osir on Shabbos. So Eruv Vahitzah, in other words, that the whole concept of not carrying on Yom Tov, and the whole concept of Eruv Chatzelis only applies for Shabbos, the Ein Eruv Vahitzah, the Yom Tov Kamiflegi. So then they would be arguing about and saying that there's no Eruv and Chatzah for Yom Tov. Tosfos learns differently. Because we're going to talk about soon, but Rashi and Tosfos have a fundamental machloikas in the sugya, what the nature is of the iser to carry things that are not necessary for Yom Tov. So because of that, Tosfos ends up saying that the girsa should not be Eruv v'hoitzah, but Eruv hoitzah. In fact, the printers of the Gemara seem to have kind of mixed up the two girsas, because first they start saying Eruv v'hoitzah, and the next line it says Eruv hoitzah. So they kind of blended together the two Gersoros of Rashi and Tosfos. So Tosfos explains that Eruv Hoitzah means, is Hoitzah mixed in among the other Eruv Malachim mixing? Is it mixed in among the other Malachas that are also on Yom Tov like they are on Shabbos? So Beis Shammai would be holding that yes, and Beis Hillel would be holding that no.
That doesn't mean that.
Well, it does, according to Tosfos. That's what it means. Is the Isra of Haitzah mixed in among the other malachas? And you would need it to be mixed in. It's a malacha grua, after all. We learned in Shabbos over and over that Haitzah is a malacha grua. It's like a weakish kind of malacha. And if you didn't have a pasuk telling us that most malachas, you don't need an explicit pasuk to tell us that it's a malacha. But Haitzah, you're not really doing it. Eruv Hoitzah without the vav, meaning that Hoitzah is mixed in, is blended in with the other one. Eruv v'Hoitzah, exactly.
The
Eruv
and your
Malachot. Right. Yeah. So Rabbi is saying, who says their Machloikas is on the principle of Mitoich? Dilma be'eruv v'hoitzah l'shabbos ve'in eruv v'hoitzah l'yomtov kamifidi. Mar sava eruv v'hoitzah l'shabbos. So the eruv v'hoitzah l'yomtov. The shama would hold just as hoitzah is a malacha on Shabbos, so it is on yomtov. And just like you need an eruv chatzeros on Shabbos, so you need on yomtov. Well, mar sava eruv v'hoitzah l'shabbos ve'in eruv v'hoitzah l'yomtov. Whereas the silver would hold that not. There's no malacha of hoitzah on yomtov at all. As we find that Yirmiyahu warns the people, don't carry things from your house from outside, from your houses on Shabbos, implying the Shabbos and the Yom Tov Lo. So maybe that's the machlokes. In that case, then, that would mean, as far as Shchita, on the other hand, Shchita is a different admalacha. There's nothing, there's no implication from what Yirmiyahu was saying that should be any different on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, even Beis Hillel might agree that Shchita is allowed on Yom Tov only for Eichel Nefesh, not for Shechting and Oila. Therefore, the Braisa that was said in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, which says that a guy is Chayv Malkus for Shechting an Oilas Nedava on Yom Tov, might well work according to Beis Hillel as well. But Maskif for Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef said, if that's the Machloikas, Elamayata lift the Guba Avonim. In that case, that this if the issue was that this Shammai that this Hillel rather Bechlal hold that there's no issue of Hitzah on Yom Tov, then instead of arguing about a child or a lulav or what have you, let them argue about carrying rocks. Now, what is it? Rashi explains the whole concept that we say that there are certain things that are mukta on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The primary idea behind it is so you don't end up carrying them outside on Shabbos. So if you're telling me that this hill will hold, there's no issue of Hitzah on Shabbos, Daraisa anyway, then they should be arguing, are you allowed to carry rocks out on Shabbos? The Shammai would say no, the Hillel would say yes, because there'd be the rocks themselves would not be mukta. Now,
there
we have
no mukta at all.
So no. There are several different categories of mukta. We talked about yesterday, for example, mukta, which is klish malach de la isu. Now that you have a different issue because that kind of mukta is more that the chachamim were concerned you might end up using it. You pick up a pen on Shabbos, the moshe, you might end up writing with it. But here we're talking about rocks. Rocks are an example of mukta machmas gufay. They're mukta because they don't usually have any particular use, and you didn't designate them before Shabbos for any particular use, and they're not a keli of any kind. That's the kind of mukta primarily we're talking about. Why would the Chachamim find it necessary to say that rocks and sticks and dirt and what have you are mukta on Shabbos? Is because you might carry them. So if there's no issue of carrying, they shouldn't be mukta either. Since they're not arguing about rocks, obviously the machloikas is about whether you're allowed to carry something which is not necessary for Yom Tov. Namely, again, it's not necessary for Eichel Nefesh, rather. Namely, the examples of our Mishnah, Kotten and Alulav and so forth. So, now, according to Rashi, Rashi says what it is that it comes out that this Hillel would actually say that all kinds of Hitzah are completely mutter. The Chachamim then would make a Girsa would make a Gzera by things that you don't need, like rocks. And then they would allow it by a cotton, and I'll say the Torah and whatever, where you have a need for them on Yom Tov. And this Shammai would disagree. Tosfos now points out that in order to reach that conclusion, Rashi actually changed the girsa of the Sfarim, of the manuscripts of Gemara, that he had in front of him. It's not the only place. Many times Rashi will say, Hochi Garsinan, and such and such, and often Tosfos will point out what the original Girsa was. What happened, it becomes confusing because later on, the copyists of later Kisvayad, and eventually the printers, followed Rashi's Girsa. So it's often hard to even figure out what the original Girsa was that Rashi is arguing against. Sometimes we find it in Tosfos or other Rishonim, sometimes not. But.
But you wouldn't want to argue with Rashi.
Well, no, but Tosfos has no problem arguing with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they might be talking about a Girsa that we don't know.
No. So Tosfos says that the original Girsa in the Gemara was Elamei Ata, by that logic, Hoitzi Avonim of this hill, if a person were to carry out stones, to the Shasarabim, according to this hill, Hochinami Dolem Chayav Malkus, would you say then that he's not Chayav Malkus? And then it would come out that it's not so. In fact, the Hillel would say he is Chayav Malkus for carrying rocks out on Yom Tov. which would mean, in other words, if we accept that Girsa, and Tosfos does, then it means, in other words, not like Rashi, that the Sil was saying all kinds of carrying a mutl on Yom Tov. Only to begin with, when the Torah is matir, fine, the civil says the principle of mitoich, but they would say the Torah itself limits it only to things that are pitzorich yomtiv. And therefore, anything that you carry out, not pitzorich yomtiv, unlike Rashi, who says it would be only a gzeira d'rabbanon, the civil would say it would actually be Tosfos would say that the civil would understand it to be an actual issu d'oraisa, and something that's chayiv malchus, like any other malacha on yomtiv. So therefore, now, furthermore, you have in this as follows. Rabbeinu Hanano brings, why does the Mishnah mention these examples of a cotton and a lulav and a sefer Torah? And he says, because all three of them involve a mitzvah. The cotton, we're talking about you carrying them out to bring them to where they're going to make the bris. A lulav to take on Sukkot, and a sefer Torah to laying from. So it comes out, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, the Mishnah is focusing on ones that you're needing for a mitzvah. Tosfos says it doesn't specifically have to be for a mitzvah. It can be anything where you have some kind of need for Yom Tov. For example, the child is not just to take him out for a bris. We're talking, let's say, an older child. You want to take him out for a walk on Yom Tov. That's also, it's a certain tzorich of Yom Tov to take him out for a nice Yom Tov walk. What? If he walks, obviously, there's no issue. We're talking about, in other words,
in a baby,
in a stroller or whatever. Or you carry him, and then afterwards he's too tired, and you have to carry him home. He walks, and then afterwards he's too tired, and you have to carry him home, and so forth. In fact, Tosfos goes on to say you'd even be allowed to play ball outside on Yom Tov. Although the Maharshal doesn't like that idea. He says, come on, I'm playing ball is not Simchas Yom Tov. That's Kinderish Spiel. Anyway.
Playing ball
outdoors in Yerushalayim.
The last two lines
What?
Oh.
Yeah, the last two lines in Tosfos, yeah.
So why
is So one second. First of all, we're talking about Yom Tov, not Shabbos.
Right.
But, okay, so what it is like this. So you have you are in fact allowed to carry things on Yom Tov that have a certain need of Yom Tov. It doesn't have to be obviously not like the Shaman, it has to be actual Oichel Nefesh. It can be like Tosfos is saying that there's some need of Yom Tov in it. In fact, actually, the Alfred Eber says, even if it's not for a need of Hanah, but only for a mitzvah, like the examples that Rabbeinu Hanano gives. So in other words, the Alter Rebbe learns that Rabbeinu Hanano was not coming to limit the scope of it, but to expand it. Not only if it's a need of your Hanah, but even if it's only Tzorech mitzvah. So those are allowed, but for example, the Rishonim bring, and the Alter Rebbe brings the halacha. Let's say, for example, you would be allowed to carry a siddur or a machzor to shul and then bring it back home. But if, let's say, and this is something that I didn't even realize until I looked this up, if, let's say, the siddur or the machzor was in shul before Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to bring it home on Yom Tov, because that's not a tzorich of Yom Tov. What? What do you mean? Oh, you come before Yom Tov and bring the siddur.
Yeah, that's what most people do. So what about that?
So it's... So it sounds like maybe it means if it was there. I mean, some of the Rishonim, when they phrase this, they talk about the Siddur or the Master was there for a long time, not necessarily that you brought it right before Yom Tov. So actually, I'm not sure.
The issue is because the reason you're allowed to take it home is, and you're allowed to take it home because otherwise
it's Tiru Seif from Hashem Tchilasen. It's another one of these examples. The Chachamim will allow you to
take your Talis home, right? Yom Tov. You have to wear it like a Shabbos, but you're allowed to pull it up and come out.
Right. Shabbos Aveda, I guess, would not be.
Some people that only carry.
So if you bring it right before Yom Tov, maybe there would be more of a heter, and then I'm not sure about that. But if, let's say, you left your machzor in shul last week, and now you remember on Yom Tov, then you can't. Then according to that, you wouldn't be able to bring it home. Yeah, that's something not often realized. There is, by the way, I mean, this whole, a related point, by the way, is the question we're mentioning over here in Eruv. So do you, in fact, need an Eruv Chatzeres for Yom Tov or not? On the face of it, so now you have a further Machlokes Rishonim. All this that we're talking about carrying things outdoors on Yom Tov, is that only in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or would you have a similar thing, carrying to a Chatzer? So in other words, do you need an Eruv Chatzeres? So Rashi over here, for example, is saying that if we say, according to Rashi's Girsa, Eruv V'Hotzah means there's no such thing as Eruv Chatzeres on Yom Tov. The Rif also says something similar. There's no such thing as Eruv Chatzeres, but there is Eruv Tchumen. On Yom Tov. The Eruv Tchumen applies on Yom Tov because you can't walk outside the Tchumen. We're actually going to talk. If it's needed for Yom Tov, that's what we're saying.
You have a storybook for the kids.
Yeah, let's say, for example, that would be an example, yeah. Anyway, so you actually, so you have a further machlokes rishonim on that, really, whether in the end you need an eruv chatzeres for yomtiv. It does say so after the brings, for that reason, it's a good idea when like this, you usually make an eruv chatzeres for the whole year. You make it, I know you make it before Pesach and you make it for the whole year. So when you're saying l'chol Shabbos Hashana, add also l'chol Yom Tov in Shabbos Hashana. And now that way for sure you're covered. Onward. So going back to the Gemara. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef says the fact that we see that the machloikas in the Mishnah is only about things that have a certain need for Yom Tov, that shows it's not, they're not arguing about whether there's a malacha of Hitzah on Yom Tov at all. They're arguing about this principle of mitoch. So again, according to Rashi, then, if you carry out rocks on Yom Tov, you're still not being over on an Isser Doraisa, because they still will hold that the, it's a blanket heter for all Hitzah. Only Dirabbanan are we going to be preventing you from carrying rocks. And according to Tosfos, it'll actually still be Doraisa to carry rocks or other things that are not necessary for Yom Tov at all. By the way, because of all this discussion, that carrying on Yom Tov is not necessarily 100% glatt, and you have cases where, for example, where you can question whether something is needed for Yom Tov or not. It's brought, I think, about the Rebbe Rashab, that when he went to Tashlich, he would have somebody else carry his matzah and his glasses and whatever, just to be on the safe side, yeah.
I think I would carry it.
What? I don't want a chassidim, I guess. I'm sure there was no lack of chassidim who would, yeah.
Because usually you don't have a Jew do something that we're questioning.
No, but that it went like this, where it was more like a personal chumrah of his own.
Oh, it's like a chumrah of a throb.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara said, what?
Why is
that what?
Only personal,
because we're saying that basically you are allowed to carry things out on Yom Tov, so it's tzorech tzas. Only if you understood Rabbeinu Hanano to be saying that that he's saying only if it's for tzorech mitzvah, then you could question, you know, are these things strictly tzorech mitzvah? Yeah. Tashlich is a minhag, not a mitzvah, really. So that's, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what that ball game is.
Okay, anyway, come on.
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Paluta just means it's just a French word for a bowl.
Oh, Karin Paluta. Oh, right.
Yeah. But you also said the
Tachim, the Kadim. Yeah. No,
yeah, Tachim,
but then it says Paluta.
Paluta is just the name.
I wonder
just the
if
word
that's
for
football.
Okay. Okay. Let's go. So, the Gemara says, V'afrab Yechanan Sava v'mitech shahutra ha'itzah l'tzarech hutra nami shloi l'tzarech pliki. We find that Rabbi Yochanan also understands the machloikas v'sham v'sul in our Mishnah. That way, that's a machloikas on the principle of mitoch. The Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, because as follows, the Tana taught a brayse in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and mevasho gid hanosha b'cholov v'yomta b'ochloi, a person cooks gid hanosha in milk on yomta and eats it loike chomish. He's going to get 5 times malchus. Loike mishum mevasho gid, number one, because he cooked the gid hanosha. Now cooking is something, now you're allowed to cook on yomta, but here you're cooking something which is osur, and you can't eat it on Yom Tov. Therefore, you're still being over on lo stasa komalacha. The loikam mishum oichel gid, number two, because he's eating the gid on osha. The loikam mishum avashal basa b'cholav. Now, that's not specifically for Yom Tov, but in general, cooking basa b'cholav is an isur. Rashi doesn't mention it over here, but I think he mentions in other places that this would only be according to the opinion that yesh gidin menos and tam, that gidin are considered to have considered to be meat. Otherwise, it's not bos or b'cholav, per se, it's just like wood. And yeah. So that's number three. The loike mishum, I skipped one. Yeah, the loike mishum oichel bos or b'cholav, he's also getting malchus for eating bos or b'cholav, which is a separate issur. Again, I think that's only if yesh begin menos and tam. Yeah, the loikam mishum have ara, and the fifth one is because he made a fire for on Yom Tov, which wasn't necessary. Now Rashi points out you have a consideration like this: when we say that a person is chayav for doing malacha on Yom Tov, we know that if a person does different malachas on Shabbos, different obvious malacha, then he gets different number. He gets malchus for each one, or if it was b'shoyg, then he's bring a chatas for each one, depending whether he forgot that it was Shabbos or he forgot that these are malachas or whatever. Does the same thing apply to Yom Tov? Evidently, this braisa holds yes, because otherwise you would say he was breaking Yom Tov already by the cooking. Why is making a fire? Why should that get him separate malchus? But yes, chiluk malachas for Yom Tov. However, Amalei, but Rabbi Yochanan tells him, "Puk Tani Levara, go out and teach this braisa outside." In other words, this braisa is wrong and it doesn't belong in the Bismarck. Have Ara Ubishal in a Mishnah. to say that he should be chayiv malchus for making a fire on Yom Tov and for cooking something which is also, that's not a valid Mishnah because those malachas are mutter on Yom Tov for Eichel Nefesh, and therefore you can't make him chayiv malchus for doing them in this case. The im tim salam Mishnah, and if you're going to say, so this Mishnah is ain't a Mishnah, Rashi says, loy Mishnah is ma'olam abes medish. It was never even taught in the abes medish. And if you're going to say the imtim tzalayim mishnah, if you're going to find other tanoim, other experts in mishnayos and brises that were going to say yes, this was taught in the Beis Medrash, then you should know Beis Shammai. It can only be according to Beis Shammai. Daminin loyam daamin loyamin and the tesha hutra hitzah letzorich hutra nami shalay letzorich. They say you don't say that by hitzah. Hachin nami loyamin the tesha hutra abar letzorich hutra nami shalay letzorich. They would say the same thing by hitzah.
He's saying something that's only in the Beis Shammai.
He's saying that your Braisa, if you, Tana, are going to tell me that I know for a fact this Braisa is accurate, I checked with other Tanoim, they said it's been told over in the Beis Medrash before, then Rabbi Yechanan tells him, fine, but you should know that it's a Braisa only according to Beis Shammai, and it's not acceptable halacha.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought Rabbi Yechanan was giving the Braisa.
No, Rabbi Yechanan, a Tana taught it in front of Rabbi Yechanan.
Tani
Tana Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. So, Beis Shammai doesn't say mitoich when it comes to Hitzah. They're going to say the same thing by making a fire. The E Beis Hillel, after all, according to Beis Hillel, given the Amri mitoich shuhutra Hitzah letzarech hutra nami shalei letzarech, hochanami mitoich shuhutra abor letzarech hutra nami shalei letzarech. And therefore, according to Beis Hillel, you can't be mechayiv and malchus for that. Now, Tosfos points out, even Beis Hillel, we said, according to Tosfos Shita, requires some kind of need of Yom Tov in it. Even they remember, they said that if a person carries rocks on Yom Tov, he's still chayiv malchus. Over here, what's the tzorach over here when he's cooking yid anoshu, which he's not allowed to eat? The answer is, Tosfos says, since he plans to eat it, for him, it's tzorach Yom Tov. The Ritva explains a little bit differently. You know, in different, this Gemara is also brought in Marcus. The Ritva there explains it a little bit differently. He says, the vote is, really, you're talking about something which is food. There happens to be food which is also, but it is food, essentially. Therefore, it can be considered Eichel Nefesh, even though, in the expression in the Gemara is, Au Yehud Jereviya Alev. It's like a lion crouching on top of it and telling you, don't eat it, but in and of itself, it is edible food, and therefore you can call it Eichel Nefesh. Well, Bosa B'cholav, you're not allowed to cook for your dog either. So, Bosa B'cholav is also Bahana. So, yeah. Besides which, also, we're going to learn in the next parak that even though you're allowed to do Melechas Eichel Nefesh for Jews, you're not allowed to do it for Goyim or for animals. Lachem v'loy l'nochem, lachem v'loy l'klovim. Yeah, we're going to talk about that later on at Dach Kafala or so, yeah. Which, by the way, we're gonna get to that, Beis Hashem, and we're gonna talk about that's very negeya if a person wants to invite a goy to his yom tov table, you have a big issue with it. Ma'isim b'chol yom, ma'isim b'chol yom, but whatever, it happens often enough. For example, that you have a person is on their way to Geirus, and they're invited over to people's houses as they're in the process of Geirus, and on yom tov, you have a problem with it. How you work it out? So we'll get to that, Beis Hashem, later on in Dach Kafala.
Invite someone over and they have a friend or a wife.
This is also true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but the issue is, if you cook, you know, to cook specifically for them.
But you have the concern Shema Yarba B'Shvilah, that you might add something extra for them. So one thing I saw, I mean, we'll talk about it later on, Beis Hashem, in more detail, but one thing I saw, one suggestion is that at least in places where it's possible, is you have several different families that invite them, and that way, when they come to any one particular one, it's not like they were Yarba B'Shvilah, because they didn't necessarily expect that they were going to come there. But we'll get to that later on Dach Kafala, Beis Hashem, or so, of several different families of frum Jews invite this prospective geir, let's say, and they don't know in advance which one he's going to take up. So therefore, when he drops in on Yom Tov, in effect, it's unexpected. Okay. Yeah. So in out of town places where the shliach is the only yid, where the shliach is the only frum yid in town, then it's not going to work. Then you have to do other things. Then you have to do something else. Yeah. So there's a whole sefer by Diane Raskin of London called Nesivim B'Sdei HaShlichus, where he deals with many different questions in halacha that come up on shlichus and how you deal. I believe he deals with this one also, but I'll have to look it up. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omim, continuing on this topic of carrying food on Yom Tov, Ein melichin chalo matonis v'koyin v'yomtiv. You're not allowed. Now you're allowed to take chala from dough on yomtiv because you said you're allowed to knead the dough, so you have hot bread, hot fresh bread on yomtiv, and necessarily you have to take chala from it, otherwise you can't eat the dough. But the Shammai is saying you can't take, and the same thing, you're allowed to shecht an animal on yomtiv, but you're not allowed to carry the chala or the matonis, the zroy l'chayayin v'keva l'koyin v'yomtiv. You're not allowed to carry it to the koyin on yomtiv.
They can carry it home.
So, Ben Shahum Emesh, whether the chala or the matonis were taken out yesterday, whether the animal was shechted or the dough was made yesterday, Ben Shahum Hayom, or whether they were taken today, the Shammai is saying you can designate the chala, you can set it, you can cut out the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva, but then you have to keep them by you until Motzei Yom Tov, and then you can bring them to the Koyim. Not necessarily, no, you're the same way as the Koyim. First of all, it's one day, Yom Tov and Eretz Yisrael, but yeah. Well, Beshilul Matirin, Beshilul says that it's mutter. Omru lahem b'shamai. So b'shamai says, why should it be mutter? After all, gzeira shava. Let's make a, now it's not a real gzeira shava. A real gzeira shava is between psukim. Here we're talking about dinim dirabanan. But nevertheless, in other words, the point is we're going to make a comparison. Chalo matonis matona l'koyin. Those things are present for the koyin. Or truma matona l'koyin. So is truma. Kishem she'en me'lichin is a truma. Now, just as you're not allowed to carry truma to the Kohen, and you agree to that, because after all, truma was, by of necessity, it had to have been designated yesterday. You're not allowed to designate truma on Yom Tov. We learned that before briefly, and we're going to learn it. Now, not Mark, what, Mstakin or whatever. We're going to learn about it in more detail towards the end of the, in the last Perek of Amasekta.
We're
going to talk about Breyer then as well, yeah. But, anyway, so, Kashem Shein Melichnes Atruma, Kachan Melichnes Matonis. The same way you're not allowed to carry Truma to a Koyan on Yom Tov, the same way you shouldn't be allowed to carry Matonis. Omru Lahem Beshilo Loi. Beshilo says not necessarily, it's not a valid comparison. Imam Martin Betruma Shein Azakai Baharamasa. You know what? The difference is Truma. You're not allowed to take on Yom Tov. The person doesn't have, zakai literally means he have a schus. The chacham did not give the person a koyach and a schus to be able to take off truma on Yom Tov. Again, because of mesakin or whatever it is. Tomer matonis shezakei b'haramasin. How do you compare it to chala and truma, to chala and matonis rather, which he is allowed to take on Yom Tov? Because again, he's allowed to make the dough and he's allowed to shech the animal. And of necessity, therefore, at least with the chala, he has to separate that out. Otherwise the dough is tefil. Now, Tosfos mentions over here that, according to Beis Shammai, not only you would not be allowed to bring them to the Kohen, but if the Kohen comes to your house, according to Beis Shammai, you wouldn't be able to give it to him on Yom Tov. Because the difference is, challah is, since you're allowed to make dough on Yom Tov, because the Chachamim wanted that, because so you should be able to have fresh bread. So we talked about before, machlokas or rishonim, whether the things that are also on Yom Tov, which ones are also daraisa, which ones are also derabanan. So one way of looking at it, when we talk about later on, things that you could do before Yom Tov and there wouldn't be any loss of flavor or whatever, is that also like for example, grinding salt versus spices, is that also daraisa or derabanan? Either way, the point is, bread, if you bake it yesterday, it's going to be stale compared to today. Therefore, bread, you're allowed to knead and bake on Yom Tov. And once you do, you have to take off challah. Without taking off challah, the dough is going to be tevil. You're not allowed to eat it. Matonis, according to most Rishonim, is not like that. You don't take out the matonis. You're still allowed to eat the meat. But nevertheless, the Torah tells you have a mitzvah to take out the matonis. So as Shammai is saying, taking them out is fine, but not giving them to the Kohen. Well, it sounds like it would be the same machloikas as before about carrying the cotton or the lulav or whatever, where you have that machloikas we're showing him that we were talking about, whether it means carrying in Rosh Hashanah or even in a chotzer without an eruv. Because it's not just a matter of a mitzvah, it's here, it's a matter of, it is actually oichel nefesh. But nevertheless, Beis Shammai is not allowing it because they say, yeah, nevertheless, Beis Shammai is still not allowing it, even though it's oichel nefesh. So the Gemara says, Kasaka da'idach shuhumu mehayoim v'shinishchatu mehayoim, v'shinhumu me'emesh v'shinishchatu be'emes. Let's start with the assumption that the Mishnah is talking about whether the truma was taken yesterday, or the animal was shechted today, rather, or the animal was shechted today, or whether it was yesterday. In other words, the machlokas would be on all those cases. In which case, mani masnisin, then who would our Mishnah be like? Loy Rav Yosi, v'loy Rav Yehuda, el acherim. then it seems like our Mishnah would only be according to Achirim's version, which is usually the mayor, of the Machlokes B'Shama B'Sichel. The Tanya, Amar Rav Yehuda, V'nechaku B'Shama B'Sichel al Matanas Shehu Me'erev Yom Tov, Shemelichin Ima Matanas Shehu Me'ayoyim Meshenishkutu Me'ayoyim. According to Rav Yehuda, B'Shama and B'Sichel both agree. If you have matanis that were taken out from an animal, and the same thing with challah and whatever, that were taken out yesterday, then you're allowed to take, then you're allowed, then, and you have other ones from today. So let's say you shechted an animal yesterday and you have matanis from it. Then you shechted another animal today on Yom Tov and you have matanis from it. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you're allowed to take them both together. Since you're allowed to take the ones from today, then you're allowed to also take the ones from yesterday along with them as well. The machlokas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be, would you be allowed to take the ones from yesterday by themselves? Shama would say, since it was shechted yesterday, you can't, and Vesila would say that not. And Vesila's logic went as follows, as we said in the Mishnah, Chalo matonas matonal akoyu, the truma matonal akoyin. Just like you can't take truma, and truma by definition has to have been taken yesterday, because you're not allowed to take it on Yom Tov. The same thing, you're not allowed to take the matonis, which were taken yesterday. But you would be allowed to take them together with matonis that were separated out today. And Omer Lahem Bissilo, and Rabbi Yehuda continues that Bissilo answered for them, Loi Mamatim, the Truma Shein is Zakai Baharam Masa. The difference is Truma, you're not allowed to take the on Yom Tov at all. Term Matonis Shazakai Baharam Masa. How do you compare to Matonis where you are allowed to take Matonis today? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily. So if we assume that our Mishnah, that the Machloikas in our Mishnah is, it doesn't matter when the Matonis or the Chalo or whatever was taken out, today or yesterday, then it comes out, our Mishnah is not, then it comes out, our Mishnah does not fit with Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machloikas, the Shama B'Sichel. Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machloikas is that if you have Matonis that were taken today on Yom Tov, then for sure you're allowed to take them to the Kohen. And even if you have Matonis that were taken yesterday, you'd be allowed to take them together with ones from today. The Machloikas would only be, I shechted an animal yesterday, Erev Yom Tov. I didn't get around to bringing the Matonis to the Kohen yesterday. Am I allowed to bring them to him today? Bishana would say no, Bishila would say yes. By themselves, just the matonis of yesterday. Would I be allowed? So the Shama is saying, listen, if you're not allowed to take truma to the Kohen, which you separated yesterday, why should you be allowed to take matonis that you separated yesterday? And the soul says, after all, there's a difference because matonis, you could have matonis that are separated today. Matonis are not intrinsically something that can't be separated on yesterday. Truma is. If you separated truma yesterday, then you have to bring it to the Kohen yesterday. And if not, then you have to wait till after Yom. Challah would be the same thing. Challah. We're mentioning matonis. Rashi says it means challah as well. We'll just mention one.
You can't separate it on Yom Tov.
So if you made a dough before Yom Tov, whether you're allowed to separate challah from it on Yom Tov, we had actually a couple of days ago, we had a machlokes avur de Shmuel and Rabba, whether you're allowed to separate challah from it on Yom Tov. But here we're talking about, let's say the challah was separated, and now the question is bringing it to the Kohen. Okay, so that was Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes. Let's go on. Amar Rabbi Yossi says differently. Both Bishama and Bishil agree that the Matonis you are allowed to take, because you're allowed to take Matonis on Yom Tov, because you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Yossi, the Machlokes is only on Truma. So actually, this Hillel, according to Rabbi Yossi, is more makel than we said in our Mishnah. You'd be allowed to take truma to the Kohen on Yom Tov, even though by definition the truma was not taken on Yom Tov. The Chachoy this Hillel donin, according to Rabbi Yossi, this Hillel's logic went as follows. Donin chalo maton, donin, the Chachoy this Hillel donin, chalo maton es maton al Kohen, the truma maton al Kohen. The argument was exactly the opposite of Bishamai's in the Mishnah. Kishem Shemay Lichin as a matonis. Just like you, Bishamai, agree that we can take matonis, because according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no difference in matonis. You're always allowed to take them. Kachmay Lichin as a truma. So you should be allowed to take truma. They're all presents for the Kohen. Omru Lahem Bishamai, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's Bishamai who answered. Loyim Amartim Matonis for Zakai Baharamasan. The difference is matonis you're allowed to take on Yom Tov. Term of a truma, Shain Zakai Baharamasan. So Rabbi Yossi's version also doesn't fit with our Mishnah. And then Achirim, then comes Achirim, we'll say, There's no machlokes. Truma for sure you can't bring. Lo nechlok. A lot of matanis. They only argue with matanis, and again challah as well. So So now that we see that there were three different versions of the machlokes, the shamay and mishilol, lema achirim he v'loyd of Yehuda. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to achirim, not Rabbi Yehuda? Now why are we not mentioning Rabbi Yosi? Rashi explains because for sure there's no question we can't make our Mishnah work like Rabbi Yosi. He says that Rabbi Hillel would allow you to bring Truma, and even Truma, and our Mishnah clearly says that not. So so the Mishnah definitely can't be made to work according to Rabbi Yosi. But does it? Do we necessarily have to say it's only according to Achirim and not according to Rabbi Yehuda, or is there some way that we can kvetchain what Rabbi Yehuda is saying into the words of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that that the whole machloikas is only if you have matonis that were separated out yesterday and you didn't bring them to the Kohen yesterday. Now on Yom Tov, you want to bring them to the Kohen, are you allowed to? But if you have matonis from today, or then you'd be allowed to bring them, and even if you have ones of yesterday, you'd be allowed to bring those together with them. So, Amar Rava. So Rava says, no, you don't have to say that. Your assumption, again, the Chasalka Daitach, as the Gemara said in the beginning, was that the Machloikas, the Shana, the Hillel, is regardless when these Matonis were separated out, but not necessarily. Amar Rava, mi katoni shohumu hayoim shenishchutum hayoim. The Mishnah didn't say anything about that they were separated out or shechted today. Shohumu katoni. All the Mishnah said was that they were separated. Ula olam shchitas and me'emesh. So we could be talking about where they were shechted yesterday. And therefore, so now that's the machlokas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is exactly the machlokas. They were shechted yesterday. You only have matonis from yesterday. You don't have any from today. Are you allowed to take the ones from yesterday to the Kohen? But Shammai says no, and the Hillel says yes. So now, in that case, leimer Rabbi Yehuda he v'lo yachedim. Well, if we understand the Mishnah that way, it doesn't mean it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda and not achedim. Now, I mean, fine, the halacha is not necessarily like Achirim or Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to say in a second the halacha is actually like Rabbi Yosi. We would like a Stam Mishnah to work according to as many opinions as possible. Because the very fact that Rebbe put it as a Stam Mishnah implies that other things being equal, that's the opinion of that's the opinion of all the Chachamim. So the answer is Afilu Teima Achirim. No, you could say the Mishnah works according to Achirim as well. Ubahanach Nishchatu Me'emesh. Because Achirim would say in their version of the Machlokas, when in Achirim's version of the Machlokas, when he says that lo nechlaku ala matonis, then Reb Meir can mean by that it means matonis that was separated yesterday. The question is, Yehochi Hainer Reb Yehuda knew, then in that case it comes out the same thing as Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda is also saying they're arguing about ones that were separated yesterday. What's the machloikas then? And the answer is, it could be an outstaler. The machloikas would be the point that Reb Yehuda would say that you're allowed to combine together the ones of yesterday together with the ones of today, and even Beis Shammai would be fine with that. That would be what Reb Yehuda would be arguing with Achirim. Reb Yehuda would say that Beis Shammai would allow that. Achirim would say that not. That you could take that there's a Tfela, and Rashi explains in Washington, will tackle to take care of it. So to take care of ones from yesterday, Achirim would say, this Shana would say is completely off limits. The civil would, Rabbi Yehuda would say that this Shana would allow it together with ones from today. Okay. So again, now one second. Rashi also adds, now our Mishnah is not dealing with the matter of Tfela at all. Our Mishnah doesn't say anything about combining together today and yesterday. Therefore, our Mishnah is written in a generic way that could work according to Rabbi Yehuda or according to Achir. Fine, Rabbi Yosi, it can't work according to, but it can work according to either one of them. What do you say? It's not a greater chiddush. We're not saying anything about chiddush. We're saying Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Shammai allows Tfela and Achirim would say they would not. No, Achirim are saying that Beis Shammai does not allow it if it was done yesterday. And they say, therefore, the ones from yesterday are completely off limits. Not by themselves and not even together with ones from today. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying, fine, Beis Shammai wouldn't allow you to bring ones from yesterday by themselves, but they would allow you to bring them together with ones from today. So Omer of Yehuda Mishmo, Halacha, Rabbi Yosi. So the Halacha in fact is like Rabbi Yosi. So that means not only you're allowed to take Chala and Matonis to the Kohen, you're even allowed to take Truma to the Kohen. Even though by definition Truma was separated yesterday, you're still allowed to take it to the Kohen. And the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabbi Tuvi Breder and Nechemia have a garba de chamra de Truma. Rabbi Tuvi Breder and Nechemia had a barrel of wine of Truma. also a kamed Rabbi Yosef. So he came to Rabbi Yosef. Omele maulam turi lekoyin ha'ina. Am I allowed today? This was Yom Kippur to take it to a koyin. Omele hachi amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmal halacha Rabbi Yosef. Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, and therefore you're allowed to. Now, an interesting point in this, by the way, that Rishonim point out is what Rabbi Tubi Breder and Nechemia and Rabbi Yosef are all in Babel. What are we doing talking about Truma in Babel in the first place? Truma is a mitzvah tluy ba'aretz. It applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So there is a good deal of discussion about this among Rishonim. Among the possibilities are maybe that first of all, it does mention in some places that the countries near Eretz Yisrael, there's a takana of the Nevi'im that they should keep Trumas and Maestros over there. So and some of the Rishonim say maybe that only applies to things that to Dog and Chiddush V'Yitzer, which after all you have opinions among the Rishonim, Rashi in many places in Shas explains that those are the only ones that are chayav in Truma and Maestros Daraisa, even in Eretz Yisrael. All other fruits according to him are chayav only the Rabbanon. Now the Rambam disagrees with that. He says that all tree fruits are chayav Daraisa, only vegetables he says are the Rabbanon. But in any case, so one possibility is that this concept of Trumas and Maestros in Babel only applies to Dog and Tirish V'Yitzer, and here we're talking about wine, which is Tirish, so therefore that would explain why he's giving Truma, even in Babel. But there are other Rishonim that talk about it wasn't really a Takana of the Nevi'im per se, it's more like a Chumrah that the Jews there accepted on themselves. But Bechlal, they talk about then that in principle, it ought to be, by that logic, it should apply in other countries as well, but nevertheless, you never hear of people doing it, and they give various reasons, one of them being that when we live in other countries, essentially the land belongs to the king, and he gives you, or the government, or whatever, and they give you permission to live on it, so therefore,
not anymore,
in Western democracies, that's true, but still, I guess once it became like that, once people stopped doing it in countries that are ruled like that, then it didn't get revived again, even yet. So for that reason, so to the extent that you have countries, well, this is also true. So to the extent, I mean, maybe the countries near Eretz Yisrael would have these concepts of bringing the Truma and Maestros to Rabbanon. Although practically speaking, nobody lives, no Jews live in those countries anyhow now. But in the countries further away from Eretz Yisrael, then no, you don't hear of giving Truma and Maestros. Challah is something else, and we have a takana of giving challah to Rabbanon, and of course, since the Koyanim and everybody are Chomei, then in principle, actually, they would be allowed to eat it as long as it's not Truma Yotza Olam Migufan, but the Maestros, the Minig is not like that, the Minig is we just burn it. There are Rishonim who bring up that idea that yes, that there are Rishonim who bring up the idea that in principle, based on this takana or minhag or whatever it was to do them in Babel, why wouldn't we say the same thing applies in other countries in Chutz La'aretz? Well, so I don't think any of them actually say that it is. They say in principle, based on this, it ought to be, and therefore, and they give various reasons why in fact it's not. I don't know of anybody who actually does, because I don't think even these Rishonim who discuss it say anything about that you should have to do it. They're just trying to explain why takana.
There's probably some people that wear those tanach clothing in Tzvas that do it.
Well, Tzvas is an Eretz Yisrael. So they're chayav in Truma. They're chayav in Truma and Maestros anyway. All right. All right. Shukriya, everyone.